The Americas.
Brazil's economy. Lula points to a spending binge. The finance minister's unequal battle to bring order to the public accounts.
In the year to mid-June, Brazil's currency, the real, fell against the dollar by 17%, the worst performance of any major currency over this period. The Sao Paulo stock market lost 8% of its value, even as other emerging markets rallied. The reasons for this slump are not hard to divine. Investors doubt the commitment of Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, the left-wing president, to responsible fiscal and monetary policies, and mistrust his renewed flirtation with a big state. Their worries now seem to have been heeded, at least partly. This month, both Lula and his politically influential wife, Rosângela Janja da Silva, went out of their way to back Fernando Haddad, the finance minister, and his efforts to cut the fiscal deficit. Markets have responded. The real has gained about 5% from its low at the start of the month, and the stock market has risen too. But the signals are mixed. Lula's government is spending lavishly, and he often seems reluctant to rein that in. He has been meddling in state-controlled companies. He has frequently sniped at Roberto Campos Neto, the president of the central bank, which has been formally independent since 2021. Mr. Campos Neto's term ends this year, along with that of two of the bank's eight other board members. The government will be able to replace them if the Senate approves. That means that six of the nine members of the board will have been appointed by Lula. The immediate worry is fiscal. After 2 years of primary surpluses, i.e. before interest payments, the IMF reckons that Brazil racked up a primary deficit of 2% of GDP in 2023, Lula's first year back in office. He was president from 2003 to 2011. The fund thinks this will fall to 0.7% this year. The problem is that because fiscal policy has been loose, to control inflation, monetary policy must be tight. That in turn means that the overall deficit, which includes interest payments, has widened to 9.4% in the 12 months to June, compared with 5.8% for that period in 2022-2023, according to Goldman Sachs. This is pushing up the public debt, which has risen from 60% of GDP in 2011 to 85% today, and may reach 95% by 2029, according to the IMF. Part of the deficit's rise in 2023 can be blamed on Jair Bolsonaro, Lula's hard-right populist predecessor. On his watch, Congress grabbed more spending powers, doling out subsidies to special interests and federal money for election campaigns. To try to win re-election in 2022, Mr. Bolsonaro scrapped fuel taxes and ramped up welfare payments. He also put off paying precatórios, which are court-ordered payments in disputes over taxes or pensions. Since the end of 2023, the government has had to pay almost 90 billion reais, that's $16 billion, or 0.8% of GDP, in precatórios. But most of the increase in the deficit is not inherited. Spending so far this year has risen by 13% in real terms compared with the same period last year. This excludes interest payments. Lula has further expanded transfers to Brazil's poor. He raised the minimum wage, to which many state pensions and social benefits are linked, by more than inflation. Spending on social security is up 10% year on year, driven by a suspicious rise in the number of disability claimants. The government has changed the rules to link spending on education and health to the rise in federal revenues rather than inflation. That change alone raised spending on health by 50 billion reais in the past year, according to Marcos Mendes of INSPER, a university in Sao Paulo. Catastrophic floods in the south of the country also pushed up outlays. Lula has also announced new industrial policies which are set to cost 1.3 trillion reais cumulatively by 2026, around a tenth of GDP. He appointed an ally to run Petrobras, the state-controlled energy firm, raising fears of a return to past mismanagement. To stabilise the debt, Last year, Lula's finance minister, Fernando Haddad, set out a new fiscal rule that caps the rising government spending at 2.5% in real terms per year, excluding interest payments. He pledged to eliminate the primary deficit this year and post primary surpluses of 0.5% of GDP in 2025 and 1% in 2026. But in April, after it became clear that spending was outstripping revenue growth, Mr. Haddad asked Congress to loosen the targets. Investors worry that the government is not serious about balancing the books. Those fears have been amplified by Lula's criticism of the central bank. Last month, his Workers' Party filed a lawsuit against Mr. Campos Neto aimed at barring him from making political statements. The lawsuit was filed after Mr. Campos dined with Tarciso de Freitas, the conservative governor of Sao Paulo's state and a potential challenger to Lula in the next presidential election. At that dinner, Mr. Campos was allegedly offered the post of finance minister if Mr. Freitas becomes president, though he denies this. This outside pressure makes it harder for the central bank to lower its interest rate, currently at 10.5%, as inflation comes down. It is around 4% annually. In real terms, that is one of the highest benchmark rates in the world. Mr. Haddad's defenders say he is doing his best to keep the public accounts in order, despite hostility from his own party. But so far, he has done this by raising revenues, which are up by 10% in real terms this year. He has taxed offshore investment funds, raised tariffs on imported vehicles, and reinstated fuel taxes. On July 3rd, Mr. Haddad sat down with the president and appeared to have convinced him to desist from sniping at Mr. Campos. The minister has said he will go through social security payments with a fine tooth comb, which could lead to savings of 25 billion reais next year. On July 22nd, he is expected to announce budget cuts. To keep even the diluted fiscal rule on track, these must amount to at least 23 billion reais, says Mr. Menges. Mr. Haddad has floated the idea of linking both education spending and pensions to inflation. Lula has rejected this. What's important is that the economy is growing, employment is growing, wages are growing, he said this week. The risk is not of an immediate financial crisis. The central bank has $360 billion in reserves, making it resilient to global shocks. Almost all the public debt is in local currency. Labour, pension and tax reforms approved over the past 7 years are providing some boost to growth, which, while modest, has beaten forecasts. For better or for worse, Brazilians are past masters at fiscal brinkmanship. But there is no room for complacency. The population is ageing and the pension bill, which already gobbles up 44% of federal spending, will rise further. Productivity is stagnant, education deficient and infrastructure shoddy. Both the President and Congress seem wedded to the notion that high commodity prices, cheap money from state banks and subsidies to favoured businesses will revive Brazil. There is little evidence to suggest they will.